This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Dip it into this podcast, because I just caught 9 small fish. Welcome to No Bucks. We're all back to recap episode 5 of Survivor 41. I'm J.E. Skeets with my 3 fellow tribe members. We got the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! We got the other bearded one, No Dunk super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And from Crooked Media, a man who I would gladly climb a mountain with.
Oh!
Jason Concepcion. What's up, Jason?
Delighted to be here.
Shout out to the live tribe, as we call them here. Everybody joining us live on YouTube right now on a Thursday afternoon. You absolutely love to see it. If you haven't already, subscribe to No Buffs on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you watch or listen to No Buffs. And leave your boys a rating and review. That helps us out. Finally, don't be shy when it comes to No Buffs. Don't be a Heather about it, okay? Let us know you're out there.
Who?
Send in your questions, comments, screen grabs about Survivor 41. Who? Email them in to nodunks@theathletic.com or tweet them in at nodunksinc. Yeah, Heather.
She's Let's start with Survivor Heather. 41. Let's start with Heather's performance on the episode last night. Anybody got a Heather take?
Oh,
nope.
Man.
All right, moving on.
No. Let's jump right into the episode. I'm happy to be back talking with you guys. I really enjoyed last week's episode, mainly because I wasn't on it, ruining it. You guys were great. I listened to it on the plane ride back from Arizona. And this is how you know, first, I'm a Survivor sicko, and just how great a job you guys did. I first started listening to one of the No Dunks podcasts that I had missed. I fell asleep listening to that one. And then I woke up and I threw on No Buffs, and you guys had my attention for an hour plus. You guys are fantastic, so hopefully I won't ruin it here.
An hour plus? Are you telling me you listened on 1.5 speed?
I do listen to one.
That is an insult.
No.
You yourself have said the greatest honor is listening to a podcast at one speed. Couldn't even do it for your boys after we put you to sleep talking about the livelihood of basketball.
No,
we finally start talking podcasts. You're like, get this thing
podcasts,
over with as
man.
Fast as
There's
possible.
There's too many podcasts to listen to. I have to.
That is true.
Okay, so we're into it here. We'll start with Yua, day 10. And, you know, they're down to 3. First off, we get the genie kiss of death. She says, "I feel very solid with the 3 of us."
Why? Where is that? Based on what evidence? I just need to know.
Yeah,
Where does that come from?
Well, there are 3 of us here.
Yeah, she survived. She was still high off surviving tribal. That's it. I mean, that's all it is.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, she quickly finds Brad's old Beware idol. Sorry, Beef Walton's old Beware idol. Immediately shows her other 2 tribe members in Ricard and Shan to use, I guess, as a group idol for the merge. Now, she hasn't opened it yet. This is, of course, Brad's or Xander's or the other ones we've seen. The one where it says, "Hey, beware. Are you sure you want to open this?" Now, she has a pretty good idea what it is, but she takes it to the group, and they have like a little discussion, Jason, about, you know, what we should do. And Shan says, "No, let's not open it. Our vote is our voice. It's the most powerful thing we have in the game. Let's put it back." She quickly changes her take on that. But what did you think of really Genie's move here to take it to the tribe and then to not do anything with it?
It's infuriating, honestly, and I enjoyed Genie as a person, and it's good. I'm glad that she's gone, though, because what are you doing? Yeah. There's 3 of you there. And clearly the other two have been working together the whole time.
Yeah.
You've almost been eliminated several times. Why are you telling them anything about what you are doing? If you find something to save your life in this game, potentially, don't tell anyone. Yeah. Don't tell especially the people who are looking to get you out. Why are you doing this? Don't do that.
A tribe of three people, and every time you sit down at tribal council, one of them says, you voted for me 10 days ago. Every time they sit down, that's the first word out of Ricard's mouth. But she's like, I got to show him. I found this sitting by the fire once again. An easy find for Jeannie.
Yeah.
The producers were trying to hook her up to give us a little bit more juice here and maybe make it a little bit more dramatic, which they did a good job, all things considered. But yeah, I don't know. That's just been the story this season. As soon as somebody gets one of these myriad of advantages, they gotta tell somebody.
Oh, I know.
Not only that, she announced that I'm going to look for an idol. See you later. Oh, found it.
She ran back
with a skip in her step to tell them. There was no, I wonder if I should tell, like, at least, like, deliberate a little bit, but she ran back to tell them about it.
Yeah. Okay. Devil's advocate. Maybe they hadn't been to the challenge yet. Could she possibly be thinking, again, this is a stretch, maybe we're merging. Maybe we're actually about to drop our buffs and merge when we all show up and step on the mat. So if that is what's happening here as we get deep into this game, you know, I build some trust with my two people on my green tribe. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
That's possible.
In that case, wait till post-merge in the right moment and then tell them. Like, why tell them now?
Yeah, not a good look for Jeannie. Really unfortunate for me. I think I had Jeannie in this weird No Dunks Discord survivor pool we had going. My Jeannie's gone. I was high on JD, the survivor JD, you know, early in the season. Yeah, I'm really botching this one when it comes to trying to pick or get at least people to go deep. So, yeah, she tells them. Now, what's fascinating, though, is the move that Ricard really and then Chan pull off here with the decision together with Jeannie saying, no, let's just put it back. Just leave it. And then off she goes to go fishing. You know, she's going to be the provider. And Ricard says, like, pretty slick move. Why don't we just open it? We'll plant like a bracelet on the inside. And, you know, she'll be none the wiser. Then we'll make this other move where Shan, well, you can, like, you'll give me the extra vote. Now, we can get into that. I don't think she had to do that, really. But, you know, just in case you go to this next tribe or challenge here and you say your funny line and nobody says it back or not all three people say it back, well, then, uh-oh, you might be screwed. You may not have a vote, so then I'll still have the extra vote. Like, they're just covering all their bases here.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing. And it goes to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, guys. Like, who is running shit over here on the Green Tribe? Like, Shan's getting the edit. She's the hero.
I mean,
but we were all pretty convinced Ricard was instrumental in all these decisions, and I think that was definitely shown in episode 5, Jason.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you mentioned the edit. The edit this week was Shan is in every scene of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, Ricard, I think it's interesting. We got a taste of it in this episode. Their interests are going to move into opposition maybe sooner than we think, and certainly did at the end of this episode. So it'll be fascinating to see when that break comes, because both of them, I think, are fully acknowledging, at least privately, that the other is very dangerous.
Yeah. I would even go far to say that the edit is showing Shan as their hero, as our protagonist, and Ricard as maybe more of the evil of the two. I think that's also his vibe. Like, he's cutting eye all the time. He's rarely smiling. They never show
it. A big smiler. Like Scotty Barnes.
And that's fine. He's pointing out, like Jason said, left and right, like, you know, hey, you're getting all the credit for all these, but I'm actually the one coming up with all these amazing ideas, which again appear to be true. And Chan is not really pushing back on that. She's the closer, I think, as Rickard called her.
That's so right.
I think they're really, really setting us up here for the head-to-head matchup between these two. Who's going to turn on each other first? Who's going to try to? And I think it's going to be epic because they're both amazing players. I don't know. Do you think the same thing, Trey?
Yo, I was loving the credit edit in this one because it's exactly right. They're setting this up to be a showdown between these two massive powers. It felt like it was coming at the end of the episode, perhaps, you know, like maybe Rickard or Shan could make a move on the other one of the two of them. That didn't happen. But I mean, there was so much talk throughout the episode of who's getting credit for these moves. And like you're saying, yeah. Skeets, even Shan at the end was like, Rickard's the strategist. And yeah. We've heard that even from Jeannie, I think in a couple episodes past, she called him the mastermind. So he's definitely working more behind the scenes, but he's seeing, like, kudos to him. He's seeing the way it's playing out and the way it's going to be playing out on TV, despite the fact that he's not watching the episodes. Like,
yeah,
he's calling it exactly right. I thought this was some genius shit from Rickard to be like, why don't we just open that? And then maybe throw something in there to fake her out, and then we can kind of set up maybe a way to scam these idols, and then he sets everybody up to say their lines at the challenge, which I thought was incredible.
He was
the Jeff Probst there.
I forgot to put that point in. I totally forgot that Rickard comes up with the idea to then say, hey, Jeannie, we're just going to do this thing. We're just going to like throw it out there when we get there. Like, that is next level. Very, very intelligent there.
He all but says this in the tribal, which we will get to. But he really is like the alley-oop king. Like, he is just like, here's the concept, throw up the pass, and then Shan comes in and dunks it, or somebody else does. But he's been really good at that, especially this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like sort of the point guard out there, for sure, on this two-man team. But she scores all the buckets. And she's incredible, and we're not taking anything away from her. It's just, I'm happy we're now seeing the edit show. No, he's just maybe as good as her. He does different things, JD, than her. They're a hell of a package deal here. But they also are so aware of each other's skills and what they're doing and resumes being built and all that stuff that it's inevitable that they have to turn on each other. It's just a matter of when.
Oh, yeah. Shan has to destroy him. I mean, she should have got rid of him today, like at this tribal council, I think.
Wow, because, we can get it. Well, you want to get into that now? You think she made the wrong decision?
Well, I mean, yes, I think so, maybe, because, you know, to use the basketball analogy, yeah, he is the alley-oop king. But as Trey said, he's next level. He's not throwing basketballs. He's throwing daggers. And Shan is the one that's stabbing everybody in the back, right? Like, so everybody's mad at Shan. She's like, she's this awesome player, this supreme strategist, but she's also a meat shield for Rickard because he hasn't. This was the first episode. I stepped away, so I'm sure I'm stepping on something. But this is the first time that we're hearing the strategy, that we're seeing him actually strategize, just effortlessly come up with these ideas, these really really sneaky ideas.
Yeah,
and then having Shan carry them out. I mean, I've heard on a couple of podcasts Rickard being referred to as the henchman. I think it's the other way around. I think Shan is the henchman. She does all the dirty work. He even said so at Tribal Council. She's the closer. Yeah. You know, Tony Soprano doesn't kill anybody. He gets all of his guys to do it for him.
I think it's fairly, for me at least, I think it's fairly even, the relationship. But I think that's a fair characterization, but it feels pretty even. I will say, I can see it both ways. Rickard, obviously a huge threat, and the pro for getting him out now would be he is 100% capable of coming up with something that Shan does not think of
to get her out.
That said, I could also see the side of it that Shan says, which is that Jeannie is so honest out here. She is a liability. I don't know how you work with someone like that. Who will just run up to people and be like, I found it.
Yeah. Hey, you want this?
Yeah. I mean, and then even the example of, and we'll get to it here in the episode, of Rickard saying, no, I'm not giving you back the extra vote.
Like, right.
why would I do that? That doesn't make any sense. And like, man, that's, I know. Now, I think the editors were like ecstatic that happened because yeah, it made can, us yeah. Within a three-person tribal council go, what could go on here where maybe it wasn't, it was a little more black and white and it was always going to be Genie. But that little like conversation at least gave us a little bit of doubt, like, oh, okay, he's not going to give it back. Hold on. Everything Shan asked for, everybody just tells her or gives them back. Right. And finally, somebody is like sticking up to her, standing up to her, saying, no, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't wait. I think because of the edit she's getting, and she is amazing, like, she's either going to win this thing, and Rickard, unfortunately, will go along with her the entire way and will be second or third place, and it won't even be close. Because JD, you said, yeah, maybe she gets all the blood on her hands, but the other way to look at it is, everybody knows she's doing all the moves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
true.
When you get to the end to then tell the jury, hey, no, I was doing this, and I was doing this, I was just lying low. I just think that is such a difficult thing to do to convince the people when you were just sort of in the shadows.
Right.
Rather than just doing it. Yeah.
It's also the backstabbing and the blindsides that have happened up until this point have been pretty inconsequential in terms of the jury anyways.
Yeah, of course.
And also, I would argue most of them were pretty easy to fool and easy to get out. Like, I think there was a lot of, patting of their backs going, oh, yeah, we're really, really good at this game. And I think that they are, but I'm also going to pump the brakes just slightly because the last three people they got out was Brad, Genie, and JD. And, yeah. Ooh, you know, yes. Enthusiastic old guy, a bumbling super fan, and a very, very trusting, nice woman who you just slit her throat. And it was pretty easy to do, you know. So,
yeah, you're basically saying they didn't strike out the 3-4-5 hitters here.
That's right.
Couple pinch hitters, maybe some of the pitchers were up to bat. Yeah, it was a little easier than maybe the heart of the order. I that's fair. Parts of me have been sort of like thinking, especially when it comes to Shan, like I'm getting like Kim Spradlin vibes of just how great she is and in controlling she is of her season. And with that one world, it was like she was amazing, deserved the win, of course, all that. Not playing with the greatest players, I think we could all admit.
that was a cast of buffoons.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what's different is Rickard is there as sort of the right-hand man to her, and I think there are some players in this game. They just haven't had a chance to all come together yet, and I think it's going to get really, really interesting. Yeah, great start to this episode. So much fun there with that sort of like switcheroo. And it ends up, of course, working, and she does get the idol, which we'll get to. But we got a little stop in at Luvu. Yeah, remember them? The tribe that never loses. We get a Sydney scene, Trey. Just a quick little fun fishing scene. She's
nine
out there looking like Ozzy. You've got nine small fish, but fish nonetheless. I love her as a character. Like, yeah. I am so in on this season, either Rickard or her being, like, the ultimate villain. Yeah. Like, I want one of the two or both of them, maybe they team up, to, like, lean into it. I can't tell if those two are going to get along so much once we hit Emerge or hate each other, Rickard and Sydney, but I don't know if you had to have an opinion on that.
Yeah, Sydney, I thought another great episode, and it's been one of the tragedies of not having the Blue Tribe have to go to Tribal yet is that we haven't got to see how she's going to act at Tribal, but, you know, she's had a little bit of a beef with Erica at her tribe. Obviously, her and Tiffany did not get along when they met at Shipwheel Island, so as soon as you get her around somebody else, it's going to be awesome. She also called herself a mermaid. Do mermaid eat fish, I guess, would be my question. I've never thought about what they eat.
They're right above shark in the food chain of the ocean. It's mermaid, then shark.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Smart.
This makes sense. JD, you got to be loving Sydney. Like, her confessionals, she just delivers them so great. She has this incredible confidence to her. It's so much fun.
Yeah, confidence is the word that I was going to use. She's just... I may be full of herself a little, but I love it. Especially, she's delivering, right? I mean, hey, I'm a mermaid, and I went and caught nine fish. That's pretty cool. That's pretty good. And they're small fish, yes, but small fish are a lot harder to hit with that spear thing, I would imagine. So good on her, and I love it when people are confident and they deliver, not confident and, you know.
How dare you bring up JD again?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think what's really cool about it is her character or her confidence and the way she talks to us in the confessionals. We've seen this from a million male players before, and I can't think of many female players that have been like her, which is awesome. It is awesome to see, and she's killing it. Yeah, you got a Wilbur popping in here left and right. Eh? You got your cat popping up.
Yeah, he fell asleep in a box full of underwear, and he's just been roaming. Oh. The guy cannot resist.
Talking about fish.
Exactly right. What's up, first Wilbur? Time we mentioned fish, he's like, huh? Can't eat fish. Don't know about mermaids.
Okay, so also on the Blue Tride, Jason, Danny, and Deshaun, they once again have their little meeting and discuss whether or not they should be throwing a challenge. Let's talk about it. You know, should we do this? Should we not? And they decide, well, last time we tried to do it, we didn't tell Nasir, and he just beasted the damn challenge. So maybe we fold him into this conversation, you know, throw it by him, see what he says. Danny in particular, he's concerned about how many men are leaving the game, and he's looking at sort of the numbers here. They're dwindling. They're leaving the game very quickly. But Nasir says, no, come on. We're not doing that. So, you know, Danny had reservations about doing it a couple episodes ago, and now it was Nasir saying, come on, guys, we shouldn't do this.
You know, I respect that tweak to the process. I think that was smart. Let's get Nasir in here, or at least try to. I will say, more generally, to kind of zoom out, there must not have been anything good from Blue Tribe in this portion of the time on the island. We got nine small fish. Listen, it's a plus. There's no doubt about it. That's a big one. But nine small fish, and then should we throw the challenge? No. That was like that was.
That's a good point. We got that a tiny all we had.
That's all we had.
Hard.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask it this way, JD. Should over the last couple of episodes, should the Blue Tribe have thrown a challenge? Should they have thrown one to go to tribal council, see where the votes lie, get, if you're so concerned about how many women are still left in the game, you know, you're getting rid of an Erica or whatever, or is the tribe too small to pull off that shit? And it's a little too dangerous. It's maybe a little different when there's 8, 9, 10 people, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was very anti, but then I started listening to Tyson's podcast, and I think he's brought me around, and he says there's a time and a place, and I think this is the time and the place, because they're going into the merge completely blind, or not merge necessarily, whatever they're going into.
No, I don't think we're merging.
No.
Gathering.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
But yeah, I mean, everybody, it seems very clear that Erica is on the bottom. For some reason, we don't know really why. She hasn't really done anything offensive that I can see, but we haven't really been there other than saying, who did she say she wanted to vote out? I can't even
remember. Sydney, wasn't
Sydney.
It?
Oh, yeah. It was Sydney. That's right. That's right. So, you know, I mean, that's fine. Get rid of Sydney. They're worried about the women ganging up on them, which is definitely a possibility, I suppose. But yeah, you just want to know where you stand going into the merge, you know, when you're playing the individual game. And they just don't know. So
yeah, I will say I think it was the right decision not to. I'm team Nasir on this one. No, I agree with you and Tyson. There's a time to do it. I have no problem with you're so confident. And again, I think there's a lot of things that you take away from going to tribal council as long as you're still there at the end of it. But if you throw it, you're down to five. Are you okay over there? Oh, is that Wilbur or you?
That was 100% pure human man.
Okay. Knocking over his mic by accident. If you throw it and you're Luvu, so you're losing. Okay, you're down to five. You're either getting probably rid of Erica, maybe a Heather. I guess it's a possibility that's a Sydney goes, but whatever. You're down to five, but that means there's four yellow tribe members left, Yase, and then there would still have been three green tribe members, Yua. That, you know, 7-5, I don't like those numbers, is what I'm getting at here. Because who's to say we do merge, and they're just we'll just team up and get them out, because they're the superpowers.
I don't like the numbers either, but, like, 7-6 is not that much better.
No.
I think that while I agree that I would not have thrown it this week either, but if you are going to throw it, and I think, listen, there is a time, I think it's very dangerous because obviously there could be blowback, you don't know what will happen, but the way to get around the problem of the ladies feeling like, you know, you being worried about the ladies doing something and the ladies being worried about the guys doing something is, and also to make this work, is you got to include one of them. Get Sydney on your side as part of it and get out Erica, because I think the flaw in this plan when they have been trying to throw it is you don't have enough people to throw it, right? Which they tried to fix this week. But also, you don't have a target. Like, if you're gonna, they had a soft target, Erica. Yeah. But obviously, with that, without everyone else or enough people understanding that that was going on, so widen the net, include Sydney, thus defusing the men versus women potential paranoia dynamic, and define a real target and say we're doing Erica, we're gonna throw it. Get someone else, including Nasir, and now really do it. But, you know, I think it was, you can't do it 2 weeks in a row. But if you're going to do it, widen it so that you can get the one person that you want out and everybody feels like they are on the winning side of it. They are on the team.
Right. Well, I guess they did try to throw it a couple of weeks ago or whatever the heck that was, but Nasir didn't know about the plan.
Nasir went crazy.
Single-handedly. I mean, Nasir has skyrocketed up the popularity charts after another banger episode from him. This guy is so damn likable.
I feel like he's starting quarterback now. Like, Danny is coming to him. Danny 1 week ago was like, it is a mortal sin to even consider throwing a challenge. But now he's like, hey, Nasir, buddy, you're the king over here.
Yeah.
We can't turn you off at tribal challenges, man. You're just carrying us. Will you throw it? And he's like, nope, sorry, not this week. And Danny's just like, all right.
Well,
whatever Nasir says goes.
It's interesting because, like, obviously they have not been in trouble the entire time, but, like, Nasir is weirdly in this, like, soft swing vote position because he is a real physical threat. And the other two physical threats are in on the plan, and thus it's like he's in this weird position where he can influence things, even though doesn't have full information about what's going on. Really weird, interesting position he finds himself in.
So we move to the Yase tribe, the yellow tribe. We've got Evie and Xander chatting away. Now, Evie tells us that she's just making him feel good, that he has all the power. So she's sweet-talking him, you know, final two, all of this. But it's funny because then Tiffany seems to be convinced that this alliance between these two is real. So she's questioning Evie, who they're tight with. You know, they got their three-woman alliance going. But suddenly she's like, uh-oh, I don't know. Maybe she is with Xander. Then we have Liana and Tiffany deciding to go through Xander's bag. They pull it off. I mean, they find all the information they need. But then Xander, weird timing with all of this, I thought. Xander then, like, well, I'll tell Tiffany I found the idol. Shows her the necklace and the paperwork. But then he gets caught in a lie, JD. He just doesn't say all of the details because Tiffany, who has just rummaged through his entire bag, knows everything. And, like, she's like, hold on, let me check my calendar here. You know, she's looking at a tree all marked. No, you didn't get that then. You got that this day. Basically catches him, and he's caught red-handed. He apologizes and seems okay with his apology. He's, like, pretty convinced.
Story over. She works with kids. Should be fine.
Yeah. Delinquency, he said. That was weird logic.
Weird.
She has to forgive the children, does she not?
Yeah.
And hold a grudge against the kids.
The whole time, Tiffany's looking at the cameras while Xander's standing right there, rolling her eyes like crazy, going like this. You know, stopped one motion short of doing like the fake blowjob about this guy. Like, Jesus, like he's right there.
He was going going full Jim Halpert. That was was like such a good scene, and I was impressed that she called him out on his lie right away, especially considering Xander like came into the game. He's like, I'm going to be open about everything. Told people about his advantage when he got back from Shipwheel Island right away. Mm-hmm. So as soon as he botched it, she's like, no, you were completely wrong. And I'm just like, hats off to you, Tiffany. Like, Tiffany, just like Nazir, I think has like been going up. Basically ever since we're all like, they should have gotten rid of Tiffany. She's become a serious player in the game. Whereas now I feel like Xander is clearly on the bottom of that tribe.
Yeah, Tiffany's got like Sandra energy to me.
A little bit.
Just like, sure. I'm just going to say whatever the fuck I want. And this is the way it's going to go. And then, like, you know, I'm going to play up to the cameras and like people are going to love me just for being so blunt, I think. JD, I know you've talked about before after like a rough start for Tiffany. Yeah, you started to fall in love with her character. But like, make sense of this Yellow Tribe for me. Like, what the heck is going on? Like, they seem to be winning now, so they're all right. But it's a strange dynamic, these four.
Oh, totally, yeah. Well, this is my favorite thing about Survivor is that when paranoia takes over, right? The same thing is happening over at Ua as well. And so I love it. It's like it's delicious to me just watching these people sort of chase their own tails and just become so frantic about what's happening away from them all the time. And but the scene, you guys summed it up perfectly. It definitely reminded me of a tall, lanky kid that I live with here, caught in a little fib, you know what I mean? Like, just just the you got me. And to be fair to Xander, it's a little white lie that he's showing her that I have this advantage or this idol, and he just lied about when he got it, and she wasn't having it, which was great. It was awesome, and it's just these awkward moments, and then her Tiffany getting paranoid about Evie and Xander's relationship. I just love it. These are how alliances just crumble and fall apart, and it's just what's so great about Survivor. And it's when you have to have nerves of steel, right? Yeah, you have to lock in and just know when to flinch. It's the whole thing is a game of chicken, and I love it.
Yeah. We go to the reward / immunity challenge. This one caught me by surprise, guys. It was so early in the episode. Oh, okay, it's a reward challenge again. We're doing that again. Okay, cool. And then it was like, what? Hold on, we're playing for immunity here too? Also, you as well, eh, Jason, with the timing, the placement of this?
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait, what? Actually, when I was, you know, I was watching it on DVR, and so I actually had to rewind it to the beginning of the challenge to make sure that, because when we got to the end of it, I was like, oh, wait, immunity? Wait, hold on a second. What?
Yep.
Where did I miss 20 minutes of this episode? Like, what happened?
Totally.
I had to go back. It really threw me.
Yeah. I thought for a second it crossed my mind. I was like, are we getting a double boot tonight? Like, are we?
That's what I thought as well.
You know, after it was so early, of course it wasn't. But okay, good. I'm glad I wasn't alone. Before we actually get to the challenge itself, this is where we get the funny lines. Everybody's going to recite them once more. You guys said it. Ricard was Jeff Probst. He was like, I got this, Jeff. Let me just throw the lines around here. Okay, you, Shan, have at it. You got broccoli for me? All right, let's go.
She's
over
a vegan? She thinks everything is food. That's not a bad setup.
So good. Those are the skills of a person who clearly deals with people and the public on a large scale and is used to addressing them and getting them to do the thing that he wants because he handled that masterfully.
Oh, it was so good. We then, of course, Xander has to do his line. I mean, for a guy that's had to say this stupid butterfly line like 3 or 4 times now, every time he does a pretty damn good job of it. Like, as sly as you possibly can say something as insane as that.
Well,
and
he did
then
get an assist from Ricard, right? Ricard set him up, which was also genius on his part, I thought.
Yeah, because they, of course, know that he said that line before. And then, at least in terms of the editing, there is a pause. There is a beat. You know, is anybody on the Luwu tribe going to say this? Now, as the audience, we haven't seen anybody find it. For what we know, nope. Sorry, guys. You're just going to have no vote once again. But Nasir drops the goats on AstroTurf line, and we get the flashback that he found this thing a day earlier. Now, Jason, right before jumping on here, you said, you shared with us, you were like, not a fan of this flashback. So have at it. I said, we were going to get into it before we were even recording. I said, save it for the show. So why didn't you like how the editors delivered this to us?
To me, one of the, the texture, the feel of watching Survivor is having the information that the contestants don't have. Knowing things that they don't know, and that dynamic generating tremendous suspense where you're like, oh my God, is this where they find it out? Is this where this is revealed? Is this where this person finds out this person is lying? And it just defuses that when you find out while they find out that a person had found something theoretically days ago. We have no idea when this happened. How long has he been keeping the secret? Is it before last episode's edit? You know, is it in the middle of the... Right. So it's muddled. It doesn't work for me. I don't love it. I want to see it in the moment when they find the thing.
Okay, this is interesting. I think a lot of people actually really enjoyed this, Trey. I see a lot of people in the live tribe here in the live chat saying they popped. It got everybody. It was like Stone Cold coming out to Royal Rumble or something. It was huge.
But I felt like I was one of the Laker bros. I stood up, ripped my glasses off. Let's go. I'm with you, Jason. In general, I would like to see it linearly. You know, like this happened. We know what's going on. But for this, like this specific scenario, I thought it was fine because, you know, we saw Xander find his idol a million years ago. He's had to say this dumb line a bunch of times. Fair. We know he's going to say it at some point. We saw Brad find his and then have to give his line. That was a completely new thing. Now we're going back to, is Xander going to say it? Yeah, of course he's going to say it when somebody sets him up. We know that Ricard and Shan were planning something for trying to figure out if anybody saw it. So I like the way they actually kept this a mystery. And I 100% popped for it. And then I will admit to it, I had some minor goosebumps and just a little bit of tearing up when he was talking about how his daughter hides immunity idols for him to find out in the yard. So I was a huge fan of this moment, even though that's not the standard Survivor way.
Okay. JD, what were your thoughts on how the Survivor editors delivered this to us with the, again, that pause, that dramatic pause? First off, we're waiting to see if anybody says it. And then, of course, you're deciding or learning who's going to say it. You know, imagine it was Heather.
Wow.
Heather accidentally stumbled upon it yesterday.
Yeah, really. It landed on her head. They just rested it on her forehead while she was sleeping. No, if it had been Heather, I think I would have hated it. I would have been with Jason. I would have, like, who cares? But I think it's different because it's Nasir.
Yeah.
And I was completely shocked. I think everybody was. And I'm going to give it a pass. I thought... You know, I was the Leo meme. I was like, "Who? No, not Nasir. Did I miss that? When did that happen?" And I think they said, "Did it even say at the bottom an hour earlier, or did
I thought
he
it
say,
said a day earlier?
Oh, a day earlier. Okay.
Yeah. So found it the day before.
And then he says Jeff, and then there's another pregnant pause, and then you're like, is he going to whiff this? Like, what's he going to say? You know, like, and he says it perfectly. It comes out, he says exactly what he's supposed to say, unlike Beef. And it's just like, but it wasn't pretty, right? It was just like, it seemed like he was trying to remember exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But then it was just like, this is that incredible, like absolutely incredible. I loved it. So, but I hear what you're saying, Jason. I do like to be in on everything that's happening, and there's been, especially going into tribal councils this season, I feel like I just don't have all the information, and I really don't know what's going to happen, and I feel like something's going to be revealed that feels disingenuous or like red hair, like there's all these red herrings and stuff, but this one, I really enjoyed it.
I agree that it's, for Nasir, this is the best execution of this, and I guess you could say, listen, if Jeannie's discovery of the advantage had played out in a more dramatic way, maybe they flip the, maybe they don't do it because they have to generate the suspense. That said, like one of the I feel like weaknesses thus far in the season has been just a lack of Blue Tribe because they are crushing.
Yeah.
here's a way to get Blue Tribe in the edit.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The guy finds it, has to hide it from his teammates for a day. I mean, that's pretty good content. It's better than Nine Fish, in my opinion. So it's not fatal. I just don't love it. I don't love that edit.
And you're
that's
right.
Just
we don't
me.
We don't get to know whether, like, has Nasir told anybody else? Does Deshaun know?
That's a good
Does
question
Danny
because
know?
The people in the live tribe are saying, will this jeopardize his position with Danny and Deshaun if he's kept it a secret?
Right.
I mean, who knows what's happened during that one day? So I see the argument from that perspective for sure.
Yeah, because if they don't know yet, and he delivered the line, like, it almost helps that English is not his first language. It's just, it came right. off, I see people saying, like, a little robotic, sure, but, like, you know, it's easy to sort of like it just washes over you, I think. I thought the way he delivered it. Now, everybody else, all the other tribes basically know, I would assume. Of course they know. They know the actual line. Most of them have seen that. But the rest of the Blue Tribe, in theory, doesn't know that this is a line that needs to be said and to unlock. They're going to know soon enough when everybody comes together. But then again, there's been so many like these journeys up a mountain where people have talked to each other that you're led to believe they've shared a lot of the lines. I mean, would you be shocked if everybody, even Heather, knows where all three idols are at this point because of who's saying the lines? No, I don't
think
you would.
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be. I feel it wasn't not Deshaun. Somebody, who did Evie tell everything?
Deshaun.
It was Deshaun. Yeah. So he knows the lines as well. So I'm pretty sure he knows the lines because Evie was sort of like, all right, enough, Evie, enough. So stop talking, Evie.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced Tiffany knows, even though she's looked at the note twice. When she was looking at it this time, it was like the first time she had ever seen it. She's like, huh?
Tiffany,
huh?
Tiffany is seeing shadows right now, and that is the thing that she is reacting to most strongly for. And it, like, she is just like, oh, that was suspicious. What was that? What would you see that interaction? She's in that mode right now. So whatever fact she has, she cannot disseminate those things from
just to put a little button on the way they revealed this, the flashback, and whoa, Nasir found it. That's awesome. I like it. I just don't want them to go overboard with it every once in a while because they've done this before. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple instances where we didn't know so-and-so had an idol at a tribal council or somebody had this advantage. It's few and far between. We generally know as the audience, but every once in a while, it's a nice little surprise. Keep us on our toes. Like, whoa, that's pretty cool. It does put you a little bit into the shoes of the contestants. Like, it's like, oh, damn, I didn't know that. And that either really ruins my game or now I got to strategize and think of something else. So I like it just sprinkled in over seasons every once in a while. And I thought this one worked. And I think it was helped out by it being Nasir. I agree with you there, JD. So all these idols are now activated. And we've got Nasir with it. We've got Chan with it. And we've got Xander with it. Just so everybody who keeping track. Now, don't ask me who has the advantages. I got no clue. No fucking idea. So they're playing for tarps in this thing. There's a big tarp and there's a small tarp, but it's a tarp nonetheless. I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on the actual challenge. Nasir beasts it for a good portion of it again. He hits the target first. At the end, you got the little sandbags. You're doing the little slingshot there. Ricard grazes a target.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was my absolute favorite part of the challenge. The most majestic miss of all time. And I'd like to show it to you. I'd like to show it to you.
Oh, you have it?
Here we go. Here we go.
There it is.
Holy. Ooh, the slow mo is amazing.
The slow mo was almost erotic.
hot.
Really consider
it looks like it
jawline.
Catches. Yeah, and the way he like watches it fly, and then it seems like it grazes the back corner of the disc.
Yeah,
yeah,
it does,
and it doesn't drop.
Yeah, and I mean it's a great part of it. It seems to be out of nowhere because if you notice at the end of it, he's still got two targets up, so he's not close to win. That's not like for the win or anything. It's just the editors are just having a blast this season, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I like this comment from Ziggy here in the live tribe. It was like a Planet Earth documentary.
It really was.
It really was.
It was shot like that.
And the target will live to see another day.
So he just misses that. Nasir finally does take down the far target because it was between the green and the blue tribe because Yasei had done really well here. They win. Xander took care of the targets, if I have that right in my notes. So yellow tribe wins, blue tribe second, and yes, the green tribe, which is down to three people, just to remind everybody, is going to tribal council. But Yasei gets to pick two people to do the old journey. And they decide to go with Shan. They have to pick from the losing tribe. So they go with Shan. And then, and this has been a bit of a common theme here when it comes to picking these journeys, who's going to do it. You can go ahead and pick someone else from the other tribe that lost, but most of the time, I think all of the time, somebody's been electing to send somebody from their own tribe. And in this case, it's Liana. And we will get to their journey, and of course we'll get to tribal council and how it shakes out after a break, Jason. But quickly, like, what did you think of the selection? Are you always on board of, like, sending one of your own, to go represent the squad?
I think it's not, the options aren't great, honestly, but I think I'd rather have the potential, despite the obvious risk of unreliable narrators, I'd rather potentially know what happened than not know. So I think you send someone.
Yep.
And there are obviously a lot of negatives with that. What if they're lying? The fact that the rest of the team is probably plotting against that person when they go. The fact that that person can come back with some kind of advantage that could upend the game. Still, I think it's better to know than to not know, especially so close to the merge.
Mm-hmm.
Or
and
whatever
Trey,
it is. Or whatever it is that you're going to do next episode.
And Trey, in picking Shan, do you just pick what you think is the leader of a tribe to always go do something like this? Do you think you pick the weakest person to try and help out that person on the bottom? Like, what's your, I know it's situational, but overall, what would be your vibe?
I would try to pick the leader. Like, when they picked Shan, I was like, uh-oh, this is bad news for Shan. They're going to be plotting against her to get her out, which is exactly what she was thinking as well. Obviously, that's not really what happened, though maybe it did happen. But yeah, I think you're going to be picking who you assume is the number one person over there. And then, like Jason says, I would also like to send somebody from my tribe just so that you can know what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. But also, if I were the rest of the Yasa tribe, when Liana was like, I'll go, I would be a little nervous about that when she was like sprinting to the boat to get going. Yeah. I'd be like, does she have an ulterior motive here? That would be a red flag to me. But yeah, I think you send the leader and then you send somebody that's pretty trustworthy from your tribe to hopefully get the info from other places out there on the island.
Okay, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about Shipwheel Island there, the two of them bonding. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this knowledge of power advantage, which we'll break down. And of course, we then have tribal council. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael. That guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Dunks. Got some breaking NBA news, guys. Dominique Wilkins is on the top 75 list.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's in.
Nice. Good.
Who do you push off, you think?
Well, nobody got pushed off.
Uh-oh.
The top 50, they're all in the top 75.
Every single one?
Every single one.
Bing.
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah, Heather made it too. She's in the top 75. all right. So we're on Ship Wheel Island, as everybody calls it, and we get the Shan bonding with Liana. We get some backstory here from Sean, Jason, about her mom and foster care and joining a gang and finding God. I mean, it is really emotional, the two of them. This bond felt real. And now Shan just has another, probably what appears to be a pretty good damn player to possibly roll with here when we do hit emerge.
Yeah, that was really touching. Let's first acknowledge that Shan... You know, to harken back to those Kim Spradlin vibes, this was a triple crown for Shan. Emotional backstory.
Mm-hmm.
On screen, basically everything that happens except the Blue Tribe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to watch her make a move. So that's a power trilogy of moves right there. And I agree with you. I feel like what they shared felt very sincere and very real.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping back a moment. Shan is also good at that. Whether that's game or not game, or that's just the person she is, everybody who comes into contact with her feels like, me and Shan are fucking tight.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So not to in any way diminish what was clearly a very emotional sharing of things and sharing of backstory, but that's kind of her superpower, is she lets you in a crack, clearly more than a crack in this particular case, but mm-hmm. lets you in with something, and people are just like, oh, me, that's my number one. I'm locked
yeah.
in. So this is kind of what she's been riding as she's been progressing through this game, and it's clearly working for her.
Yeah, JD, what did you think of this journey up the mountain? This was a particularly emotional one. I think we would mm-hmm. all agree with that, and getting her backstory. But JD, are you over the Shipwheel Island and the prisoner's dilemma, which then Shan just says to her, you know what? You take it. You take the advantage, whatever it may be, and we'll get into that in a second. But I'm fine. I need my vote. I'm going to keep my vote. What are your thoughts on this whole journey up the mountain thing? You still like it?
I do find it slightly tedious. I would enjoy it a little more if there was an actual prisoner's dilemma happening. That said, I mean, everything Jason said, I agree with. Very emotional. It was nice to hear that story. But I also agree with Jason is that is indeed Shan's superpower. She is a sharer. As this is the first time we've heard this story, but everybody on Yua may have already heard this story too, and that's why everyone feels so tight with her. And I'm not saying that she's not being sincere, but she's just that type of person who really just wears her heart on her sleeve, Tass Mellis style, and will just share her life and her story. She's a preacher, for God's sakes. I mean, like, yeah. Kind of her job. Again, not taking anything away from the story. I thought it was quite moving when I was watching it. You know, regardless of where it came from, well, it worked because it seems like she's got an ally in Leanna. That said, I think Leanna is a very dangerous player. She is there to play. Remember going back to when they were about to search Xander's bag, you know, yeah. Tiffany was like, do you think we should search his bag? Like, and yes. She's like, finally, let's do this, you know? And
yeah. The world is in that bag.
And so she's willing to do that kind of thing. And she's probably willing to slit Shan's throat if it comes to it, you know what I mean? Regardless of whatever the story is, maybe especially because of the story, because it is a compelling story and it sticks with you and it's a way that you win $1 million on Survivor.
Yeah, I've thought that too. I'm fascinated to know how much of this story that her other tribe members do know. She did slip in something, did she not, Shan? Did she not say something like, you know, this was a voiceover, but the way Leanna you know, embraced her and like they shared that moment. She sort of said, like, this has never happened at the Green Tribe. Like, I never have found this attachment with like
they
a
never
Ricard
said sorry.
Or that, yeah. Now,
basically is what she said. Like, they never said sorry when I mentioned that my mother had died.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that was like a, you know, that's a little shot at us. Specifically, I think a Ricard, like, you know, we don't have that bond. We work well together. We strategize well together, but I don't think I don't know. He's cold, maybe, or something like that. I thought that was interesting. But Trey, any thoughts on this shipwheel journey? Are we about done seeing these? Is the other question. Was this the last one? I think it could be.
No way. No chance. Wow. This is the last one. It's an advantage fest out there. And another advantage was introduced here, one that we haven't even seen before. But I thought this scene accomplished a few things. I'm tired of Shipwheel Island. I think they're going to keep going back to it. But I would much rather see what's actually going on at the tribes. But I think we saw one thing we saw is that Leanna obviously is playing a great game. Like, this was a Triple Crown episode for Shan, but, you know, maybe Leanna's coming in second in the votes for all of the other ones because she now has a very powerful idol. She has a powerful ally in Shan, and as we've seen in the past, she's been a beast in challenges. Like, Leanna is a great challenge competitor. She's obviously pretty close with Tiffany as well, if she's willing, if she can help convince Tiffany and go in on Tiffany doing something a little risky going through Xander's bag. So I thought, great episode from Leanna. And it kind of sets us up for, we know by the end of the episode that they are going to be merging or at least doing
tribe
something
swapping,
where some sort of something's getting jumbled up here.
Yeah.
And this is giving Shan another potential number one out there.
Yep.
Like somebody she could partner with to stab Ricard in the back, you know? So I think that was interesting too, to say like, here's a potential future for Shan since, you know, by the end of the episode, we're also thinking, oh, Ricard might be wanting to turn on Shan as well. It just feels like a race between those two. Who's going to get the other one at this point? And I do think Ricard seems more likely to flip faster. But maybe with this bond that Shan has made with Leanna, it's like, I got my real number one over there. You don't want to be Shan's number one. You'll get cut if you do. Anytime somebody thinks they're close to her, they go home right away. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting. She shared the info about if I go home tonight, it's because of Ricard. I thought that was actually a sneaky big share.
That
obviously,
she
didn't go home.
Yeah.
But it poisons the well against Ricard and kind of aligns Shan and Leanna.
I had that written down as well. That was really sneaky to slip that in there. Okay, well, let's get to this. You know, knowledge of power advantage is what it's called. Wow. WTF, Jason. This is strange. I know a lot of people are upset about the powers this has. I saw Reality Blurred, right? So we're taking away people's ability to vote in some cases, and now their ability to lie, because this thing, it's a little convoluted if you saw like the screen grab of the actual breakdown and what it does and how you play it. But the gist of it is, at Tribal Council, you can ask one player one question one time, and that is, you know, do you have an advantage or do you have an idol? And that player cannot lie. And if the answer is yes, if they have it, They must give you that advantage or idle. That's a lot of power. And I know other people, I think Stephen Fishback on Rob has a podcast on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, is like, this goes against Survivor. Like, what do you mean I can't lie? this whole game is like about deception. But what do you think? Are you a fan of it?
George Washington advantage.
Yeah.
I feel the same way that that Stephen and other commentators feel about it. Obviously, lying is integral to Survivor. Let's see how it plays out. And, you know, we've had idle nullifiers in the past. Of course, they didn't depend on a truthful answering of a question. So we can kind of intuit how it might play out. But I'd just make it an idle nullifier then.
Right.
You know, like, I don't love it. And I guess, like, how do you compel a person to tell the truth? Like, what is... They have to tell the truth or they're what? They're voted out? Like, what is the or what? I guess I don't know what the or what is.
Right.
Jail.
That's it. Jeff, you're in jail. Survivor jail. That's it. You're out.
You're out of here, buddy.
Like, does your tribe lose something? Like, it's... Yeah. That's the other thing that feels anti-survivor, which is there are penalties often for advantages, for different things, for doing something, for negotiating with Jeff for stuff. But those penalties are always clearly laid out so that you know what you're up against. So what's the penalty? I wish we knew what that was. You're just like, Jeff's going to be like, you have to answer truthfully or else daddy will be mad at you.
Yeah, I literally think that that's what it is. It's like video game rules. Like, you are compelled to tell the truth. Jeff will step in and say, hey, you got this will happen off screen, I'm sure, but... You got to tell the truth, man. Xander, give it up. Give up your idol because she got you. You know, that's how it's going to play out.
See, this is why I actually really hate it. I think I would hate it in any season, but I hate it in this one more than others because the way we're doing this whole silly lines and, you know, if all three of them are said, then we know where the three idols are. Everybody knows who has the idols. It maybe works. It's maybe a little bit more interesting in a season where it's like, oh, we don't know who has it. Like, I have no clue who's found it. Okay. Then it's a bit of like, oh, I got to figure it out. You know, you're either sneaking through bags, you're trying to get information. But this one, JD, it's like, they all know. She has so much power. She's going to know if they do merge soon. Basically, the three people that have it.
Totally.
And I guess we'll just take her pick whenever the hell she wants of like, you know, I guess we're going to get that person going home that particular night and I'll just take it from them and see you later. That's just strange to me.
And it's also unclear when that happens because usually there's the moment at Tribal Council where Jeff is like, if anyone has it, a hidden advantage or an idol, now's the time to play it. Is that when they play it? Because Xander...
The question must be asked at Tribal Council before the votes are cast. Before they're cast.
Okay.
The shot in the dark die does not count as an advantage. You can't say,
yeah, no
can
shit.
I have your die.
You got a die? Gotcha.
I'm not a fan of this. I guess we'll, of course, see how it plays out. Maybe it'll be great television, but I'm skeptical it will be. I don't know. Just because she knows, Trey. Yeah. Well, sorry, go ahead, Jenny.
One of my favorite moves at Tribal Council, when you have an immunity idol, and this is what I would do if I had an idol, especially Shan... If I had an idol, I love it when people bring out the idol. They say, I got an idol and I'm playing it tonight. So
Tony.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And then they put it around their neck and then it's we're playing chicken again. Right. It's like, if I vote for Tony, if I vote for Xander, my vote's not going to count because he's going to play his idol. So then is Leanna just going to say, oh, hey, Xander, do you have a hidden immunity idol? And it's hanging around his neck. Like, it's just sort of, it's just like, oh, this takes all the fun out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that he knows.
What's he going to say? Technicality, it's not hidden. I'm wearing it. You don't get it? Like, okay. Say, Thomas in the live tribe here says, are those three idols, are they gone at the merge? Mm-hmm. Okay. That is a part I had forgotten about.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
I think it's on the paper.
Okay. Good call,
Hold on. I thought that it
This is like the NBA CBA trying to like.
Yeah, I know. We need Larry Coon.
We need Larry Coon to come in and be like, tell a post-merge.
Survivor FAQ.
Bobby Marks coming in.
I thought that it expired. Like if they weren't all found and they weren't activated, then that part of it expired at the merge, right? Then you got your vote back. But you have to be able to keep your idol, right?
I think they're still good idols.
Yeah after
I,
all
I,
that
I disagree
work.
With you, Thomas. Maybe you know something we don't. It sounded like Trey was sort of agreeing with you, but I thought, I'm with you, JD. I thought that was how it sort of went down. I think there are three idols in play now, and when we hit them, if we hit the merge next week or the week after that, there's three idols, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they... Otherwise, we have done all of this bullshit for like one week, maybe? I don't think so. I don't think so. So we'll find out, but I sort of hope at this point that they're actually real.
Okay, I'm reading the CBA here at the bottom, clause 4.8677. If all three shared idols are not found by merge, mm-hmm. the vote penalty ends and your idol is forever dead.
Okay. Right. Okay. But now we're good.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Uh-oh. Don't
do.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is
they're going to keep them around. This is all designed to have a live tribal council. That's the whole thing. This is designed for drama at tribal council. Exactly. It's been super, I don't know. Has it been fun? The first few live tribals were awesome. We were like, "Whoa, this is crazy. They're all strategizing while it's happening." Then it felt like it happened all the time, like every three episodes. It started early this season with the whispers. This is just a way to get some drama going down at Tribal.
Yeah. I love the live tribals. That said, we haven't needed that much incentive to get live tribals going last couple seasons. Like, people just lose their shit and start whispering. The most annoying thing about live tribals is, when sound design isn't on it and hadn't mic close enough so that you can hear what they're saying, which is a real drawback. But I think they've figured out that out going forward. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. Yeah. I kind of don't love it for all the reasons y'all mentioned, and I do think, of course production knows whether a person has an idol or not, but that is kind of the point, right? If it's like, it again subtly draws your attention to the fact that there is production, that there is this overarching structure and format and crew behind the show who will make sure that this person tells the truth, which is just a little weird to me. Hmm. We'll see how.
Why? I don't really know why it's called the knowledge is power advantage. I don't really get that. I mean, it says the first line, this advantage offers you power in the game. Yeah, duh. But you'll need inside information to ensure its success. This is where I push back. In this season, there's no inside information. It's all out there because all these people have been saying insane lines. So yeah. I don't know. But you're right. It could make for great television. It always could. But it's powerful in the sense that she's going to go to one of these. I mean, the Assay tribe, if we're sticking together, Xander's screwed. Like, he's 100% screwed if they are losing and they're going with their four, if we're still in this, JD. Because she knows he has it.
Right.
And she could just take it and they could just vote him out. Like, it's done.
They could, but he still has an extra vote. But I guess...
That will matter.
Yeah, I suppose, if they all gang up on him, but I don't think that's going to happen because there's going to be a shakeup of some kind.
Yeah. I almost wonder, did the Survivor production team decide to throw in this knowledge is power advantage because nobody's rolling the damn die?
That's a good point.
Jeannie, what else do you need to roll it?
Roll it.
You're in a bathtub with two great white sharks and you're still like, I don't know.
I like my chances.
Feeling pretty good.
I think I'm pretty, I feel tight with them.
Maybe it's tight. They want some more explosions at Tribal Council. So maybe we'll get it with this. Okay, so to the Green Tribe, day 11. This is where Shan is gone. This is, she's on her little journey there. Ricard, he throws Shan under the bus, or at least starts talking to Jeannie. He's feeling it out. Now, Jeannie's not really buying it. I'm not sure I was buying it either, I guess. I love, okay, I will say, We're joking about the die never being played, but I've come to love it in theory because it adds another level of all these players, especially in small tribes, have to make everybody feel so comfortable that they won't roll the die.
Right.
And I
we're
do
so
like
good
that.
Right now.
I like
we're
that.
So good.
Yeah.
we're tight, Dini. We're doing great.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it was Ricard as much as was Shan, but it worked. Obviously, she doesn't even take a chance, even if it's a slim chance. So I like that. That part's working for me. You gotta basically blindside. You want to blindside everybody because you don't want them to even have a, what is it, a 16.666666%
right.
chance to to get out of it. So I like that. That's smooth. Great addition, in my opinion. But Shan returns to the beach, JD, and again, they all check their day planners and they schedule one-on-one meetings. They're like, okay, I've got you 3 to 4 over by the coconut tree. I'll see you 4:30 to 5 down by the water. I mean, they're just so open about it. Like, I would like to have my one-on-one. I'd like to have a conversation. And this is when we get to Shan asking Ricard to give her back the JD extra vote. And he refuses.
Right.
Is it fair to say this was Shan's first slip up?
Oh.
Where maybe she was coming on a little too hard with Ricard saying, why would I do that? Like, makes sense to me. No, I'll just hold it. We're good. I don't want to give you all the power. Then you'll just vote me out. Or maybe you disagree with that. You think she handled it fine, Judy?
No. I agree with that 100%. I was watching it going, okay, here we go. I was like leaning forward. It was like watching Coronation Street for me. I had my tea. I'm just loving every second of it. Just this incredibly tangled web that they have created, and then they're all stuck to it, and they're going at each other and the paranoia. You're away from camp. You make this new alliance with this new person on this beautiful grassy knoll, and then you come back, and you're like, these two people are out to get me. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, what happened before I left. And she was just losing it. She was paranoid, and I loved Ricard's. He was totally cool, totally calm. Mm-hmm. Lots of like great facial reactions when like, how dare you ask me for this? You know, you gave it to me, and I'm gonna give it back to you tomorrow. And if you really don't trust me, play your idol. And that was 100% right.
That was
That
was checkmate. Yeah.
That was checkmate.
Totally.
Jason, yeah, the slick move there from Ricard.
I mean,
okay.
When you say that, it's like, you know, put it that way, what can you really say? I don't know that anyone slipped up here. It was a really interesting confrontation because both sides were, you know, operating under things that were pretty reasonable, you know, like Shan tried it. Give me that thing back. I'm feeling a little nervous. And then Ricard rightfully, and I think very strongly, and says, absolutely not. No. I think it was a slip up in the sense that I think it revealed something about Shan, which is she's obviously so confident and really, really in tune emotionally and good at operating in the game in a way that she is calling moves, as I think Jeannie and Ricard both note in Tribal, like, oh, well, look, you know, if you're pitching both of us, then clearly, like, you're in the driver's seat, right?
Yeah.
But she's so comfortable at it that people just, like, fall into it. But here, where she kind of doesn't get her way, it goes off the rails a little bit. She's not used to reacting to that. So I think we've seen a small kind of crack in the armor, if you can call it that, which is if you can stymie her in some way, if she doesn't quite get what she's looking to get out of a situation where she expects that she will get that thing back, she doesn't really have a good counter and can kind of fly off the handle a little bit.
I was
mildly surprised that Ricard didn't think about, hey, Jeannie, what do you think? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that, again, just goes back to the first vote. He can't let it go that Jeanne has voted for him and has been on the other side of votes.
Well, and he also probably doesn't think Jeanne is going to be able to navigate him to final tribal council.
Right.
If we're being quite honest. Like, going with Shan and Shan going with Ricard, they've been a great twosome, but they almost kind of need each other now to be battling against, you know, the other, whatever, 11 members that are out there. They got to have a tight two, and they both got to be smart about it. The original mistake was giving him the extra vote in the first place.
Right, right.
No point. Yeah. Literally no point. And you would have never had this kind of confrontation further on down the line where Shan is trying to pull a JD on him, and Ricardo's like, you just did that. I told you to do that.
I mean, that's
and now you're trying it against me. Like, that just had to send up so many red flags for him that didn't even need to be there if they would have just waited to see how tribal or how the challenge shook out.
Yeah, I was trying to make sense of why she gave it to him in the first place, too. And I mean, I think the reasoning is, well, I'm going to try this move where I say the silly line. We don't know if the Blue Tribe has found it. So it could backfire, and I could be in the position where I have no vote, right? Okay.
That's exactly
so were the two... Yeah, but she could still hold that.
I know,
and then give it away when it backfires, and then, you know, okay, now you have it. Now we're good. Now we'll just use it. Like, I think the timing of it didn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, the whole point of it didn't make a lot of sense, but really doing it before you even knew whether or not you were going to have the idol unlocked and activated was really perplexing. Unless I somehow have that wrong. I don't have that wrong, right, JD? Like,
no, you don't.
If Nasir never says anything, she has no vote.
That's
right. But she could still give away her extra vote.
That is my understanding.
Yeah.
But when I have to admit that when they were talking about it, when they were devising the plan of opening the Beware advantage, it made sense to me. It was like, okay, you take the extra vote, and if I end up with no vote, then you have two votes, and you just vote Jeanne out. But the timing of it now in retrospect is like, you could have just held on to it and you never would have had this confrontation. So, I'm agreeing with you that is what happened. I'm also agreeing with you that it doesn't make any sense for her. Unless there's something in the rules that says all of your advantages are negated if you have this, because Xander, it never occurred to Xander either to give away his extra vote. I mean, not that he would, but
he doesn't really have anybody to give
exactly.
It.
Yeah. Exactly.
They just use it on him.
Yeah. I don't know. I love right before the commercial break, the final one, Shan drops the title of this episode. It's Do I Bring the Strategist in Ricard or the Loyalist in Jeanne? And this is the question. This is the cliffhanger as we go to commercial break. We get our answer when we get to Tribal Council. You know, they do another great job of convincing Jeanne not to roll this die. I mean, it's pretty astonishing. She is just convinced that she's tight with Shan. And that is, again, you guys have said it. That's Shan's superpower. She's done this now three tribes in a row that they've gone where Beef, JD, and Jeanne thought they were good with her. I'm fine. She's rolling with me. She won't flip on me, but she does. So why would I roll a die? And that's to their detriment. No idols, no advantages are played, and Jeannie's voted out 2-1. So the question is, JD, we'll start with you. Did she make the right call here? I know we touched on it at the start, but has Shan made the right decision here to go with the strategist who will probably try and turn on you at some point? Or do you go with Jeanne, who's like, just a very sincere, honest person, which can be good and bad, I think.
Right. I mean, I alluded before that I think that she should have gotten rid of Ricard because now they are a tribe of two and there's going to be a shakeup where, you know, the assumption from their perspective emerges coming the next day, right? It pretty much has to, given the numbers. And I feel like, you know, they are going to be on the bottom. They are a tribe of two. And then they are much more vulnerable than either of the other alliances on any of the other tribes, simply because they are two people. And what traditionally happens, and I know that, you know, tradition is a kind of out the window, but what traditionally happens is that those two people at the bottom turn on each other because it's like, well, I'm gonna go with my girl Liana. Vote Ricard. Get rid of him as long as it's not my name. So that with Jeanne, at least I feel like you could have controlled Genie. I feel like, okay, we're loyal. We're a tribe of two. You just have to tell her what to do. You just have to control her and say, hey, just talk to me. If you find anything, yeah. just come to me first. You're my number one now. I feel like you could control her, especially going into the pit, the lion's pit that you're going into with these other two tribes. But, you know, who knows?
And I could say the same thing about Ricard. Yeah, Genie's maybe only been loyal due to circumstance, is what they're saying in the live tribe. There's some probably truth to that. And it is a weird
dichotomy that she's like, this guy is not loyal. Was she saying Ricard is not loyal? They voted together every single time.
Yeah.
I think it's more of an acknowledgement. I bumped on that as well, but more of an acknowledgement that Ricard has moves and
exactly. And Genie's not going to do
in
that.
In a way that Genie is absolutely not dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. I'm fascinated to know if Ricard gives the vote back. He's like, okay, here you go. Yeah. No, if he had done it, given it, would she have voted him out? Was a part of this whole, like, well, let's keep him around. We are tight. We're a great twosome, but he won't give it back. Yeah, that could come into play. That's another bullet in the chamber there. So maybe let's just roll with him.
I will say that JD's convinced me a little bit in this sense, right? The Liana move gives you a backstop now, right? Going into a merge. There's an opportunity to cross that bridge. And again, Ricard is dangerous. And I think numbers is going to be an issue going forward. You do need someone at your side. And there's Ricard has a lot of strengths. But you're going to have to get him out at some point, and it feels like it's only going to get harder to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen potentially at a point where after you do it, what do you do then? I think potentially that was why I was like, why doesn't Ricard, even though she had the immunity, but like, why doesn't Ricard do it? Because Ricard's move after getting Shan out is very unclear. Like, I don't know where he has nothing outside of this tribe. So he has to move forward with her. But I guess I could see JD's point in that you'd have to manage Genie a lot. But maybe you could, maybe thinking with Liana in the fold, maybe that's doable. I could see that.
I think they got an easy threesome if Shan chooses to get rid of Ricard last night. Genie is indebted to her. You got Liana waiting there. Yep. There's your final three. Whereas with Ricard, it's like, you know that he is going to make a move at some point. I think the reason that, despite the fact that him and Genie obviously don't have much of a relationship, I think the reason he didn't want to go up against Shan last night really is that he's saving getting rid of Shan as his big move in this game. When he gets rid of Shan, that looks humongous. Better to do it in front of a jury than in front of Jeff Probst.
That's a good point. This is my favorite part. If this was a lot of other people, I would be like, Ricard is going to go all the way to the end with Shan, and he's going to think that he's going to win, and, whatever. He'll just be sitting there, and then he won't. He'll get one vote, and you're like, oh, you fool. We see it. We go, oh, you're never going to beat this person at the end. What are you doing? But, it's different when you're out on the island. But he knows it. Everything he is telling us, he's well aware of it. You guys said it very early in this episode. Like, he is so aware of like the edit almost in a weird way going on of how she's being presented and what he's doing sort of in the shadows. So it makes me I have so much faith in him to recognize that and to at least take a shot once at Shan, if not multiple times. I'm so excited for them to at some point come to blows, because I think he will do it. He won't just ride her all the way to the end with her, because I just think he knows he won't win.
I think, Trey, that was a really good point, because if, everything that happens pre-merge kind of doesn't count a lot of times, especially to a jury, right? So if he makes moves post-merge, that matters more than basically everything Shan has done to this point, right? In the eyes of the jury, at least. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be titanic when they do square off.
Oh, I can't wait. It's just a matter of when. When will it happen? The worst thing that could happen with how this has been set up is they do get separated somehow, and then one of them just gets like idled out some way or just voted out because they're like have no, you know, Shan could probably wiggle her way out of anything, yeah. But like Ricard gets put on a tribe with, you know, four blue tribe members and they're like, get rid of this guy.
Yeah,
you know. We don't know him. Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, this guy's not the warmest guy in the world. See you later. Like, I actually, like, I'm terrified that that's where it goes, but hopefully it doesn't. Okay, we're not going anywhere, though. We're going to take one more break, guys, and then we got definitely two questions in Tremel that we have to address, so we'll be right back after our final break here.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball. Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I
did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDunks.
Okay, back with No Buffs here. Into Tree Mail. Got two great ones. This one, first one is from at Mighty Stubaka. It reads, what sound effect should Survivor Editing have used when the three-way immunity idol was activated? I think using something like the No Dunks lock it in effect would have been a nice touch. Yeah, now, JD, do you have the sound effect for those that are maybe not No Dunks fans? Here's the lock it in sound effect. That would have been awesome.
Big yeah. Hit.
They should have went with that. Just chuck that in there, because they're usually so great at stuff like that.
Do you think they needed to do something to kind of like anoint these idols to say that these are official? I thought it was pretty obvious. We'd spent, you know, 20 minutes at that point talking about, are these idols going to happen? We got the backstory of Nasir finding it, even though we didn't know that that had happened. To me, it was pretty clear, but Laura was very similar. She was like, wait, so that means these are working now, right? They all said the phrases, you know? I mean, fair enough, she's not talking about it with her friends for 2 hours every single week, but yeah. They could have done something, especially considering, like, you know, they'll hide something at an immunity challenge and kind of go out of their way to show somebody getting it with like a spot shadow or something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, they put more of the editing into the Nasir reveal than the, oh my God, they've done it.
Yeah, right.
I like this idea from Min Power, though. The eagle sound from Coach's seasons is
oh my God,
would be pretty funny. Yeah, pretty funny. I like the lock it in. But JD, you're the sound master here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other ideas that they should have maybe slipped in there to signifying them activating it?
Yeah, no, I agree with Trey that there should have been something. I mean, I've heard people talk about even having a scoreboard at this point, like who has an idol, you know, like even like a ticker or something that goes
goes across the bottom of the screen, you know. But it could have been like, idols unlocked. But my answer is also from the Starters TBJ No Dunks catalog. And it was such a clumsy sort of the idea is sort of clumsy to begin with. And then just the stumbling and bumbling over it, like over weeks, literally weeks, to finally get to it. And with Nasir finally just sort of like, Jeff, here's the thing I'm supposed to say. And so I would like a fanfare, but the worst of the week fanfare that we do.
Oh.
And just have them high five over this. Now it's a bit long, but I think if you just imagine we did it, all idols guys, they're all high fiving
like
over this. Here it is.
Okay, that could work.
Okay.
Yeah, a little long, maybe, right?
It's a bit long.
Jeff Probst
it's a
just
bit
standing
long.
There. There's a band in the background. In.
Come on in!
Wait, hold on, what about this? Let me just okay. Let me just quickly, let's see if this goes. Let's.
Okay.
You hear that?
Try again.
One more time.
Yeah,
but like a little longer, just like boing.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that could have worked. There's people in the live tribe saying that they were hoping for some sort of like Power Rangers type cutaway when they morph. Yeah. Like a Voltron type
right.
thing would have been really cool. But nothing. Yeah, they really didn't go with anything. And I'm with you, Trey. I'm with Laura in a weird way. Again, it was so all the attention on Nasir and the flashback. It wasn't like there was no like I could have just used like a. Like a thumbs up to each other. Like, hey, we got it, guys.
Like, come on, yeah, exactly right. Like, I think the internet has stopped Jeff from addressing the camera. You know, he hasn't broke the fourth wall for the past two episodes, but this would have been a perfect time. Like, just find the camera that's over on the shore. Finally, guys.
They did it. Jeff, like, calls the Steadicam operator in. Like, come here. They just did it. No, they're like, we can hear you, man. Like, we know what's going on. Okay, one more question. I know we're running long here tonight. This is from Doug. He says, it doesn't look like it's going to be a traditional merge next week. So what would you like to see happen? And what off-the-wall way would you want to see them mix up the tribes? I think you're right, Doug. I mean, the tease for next week is... You're sort of merging, but you're not merging. So something else is going on here, or at least I think we can. It's safe to assume that. So, Jason, do you have anything in mind, like a weird way, or maybe even what you think they're going to do next week?
Well, I think clearly it's going to be some form of tribe swap, right? So, you know, we've seen things in the past with either rocks or colored buffs, hand those out randomly.
Drafts we've seen before
draft,
a long time ago. Yeah.
I think something like that is maybe the way to go if you want to control it a little bit. Captains, right? Everybody, either rocks or buffs. There are two colored ones. Those are your captains, and then they pick.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be fun, for sure. So you think a two tribe we're getting down to then, maybe, before a merge of some sort.
Something like, I think like a two tribe. I don't know that they would continue with this three. Feels a little bit too forced to continue with the three. Let's get people together as much as we can, not just separate them into three other tribes. Let's kind of like start getting people into groups.
I mean, the Survivor editors know we have gold here in Ricard and Chan. They're... getting them up with other people at this point because they're a tribe of two and we don't like, we want them to turn on each other, but not in this scenario where they're the only two people left and one of them has an idol for crying out loud. So there's going to be obviously some mixing, but Trey, do you have anything unique that Probst and company could try here?
thought I was onto something with a draft.
But. Oh, okay. Wow. Well, they used to do draft, but those actually backfired a lot of the time, from what I can remember. Yeah. Usually there was one person that couldn't draft worth shit. And we would just get these, like, powerhouse teams, seriously. They were never even, from what I can recall. And to the point where they stopped even showing us on television, I remember. Like, they used to show us, like, okay, I'll take him. Okay, I'll take her. I'll take him. And that's sort of exciting. And then at a certain point, they were like, yeah, just cut that out. Like, here are the tribes. They were drafted.
There they are.
But JD, any ideas?
Yeah, no, I do like the draft idea, you know, aside from the risks. I'm worried, to be honest. I don't think it's going to be a swap of two tribes. I think this is going to be something new. I think they're going to ask us, is this fun? And I'm worried. I'm very worried about what it's going to be. Like long hikes over the mountain, who knows?
JD, hold on. What about this idea? Propes goes, all right, we're making tribes. How many people are left? What are we at? 12?
We're 12, yeah.
Is that where we're at?
I think 12.
First six people up that Shipwheel Island, you're a tribe. Go. Ooh. Like Squid Game, this shit. You know, like, let's see what happens here. Yeah. Ooh.
I'm not running. I'm staying at the bottom.
Oh, then that becomes a game. It's like, who's going, who's not? He says, you got an hour to do it. If you can't decide, you're all dead and the season's over.
I mean, what if the wrinkle is they one-world it and make everybody live together?
That's what it seems like to me.
Two tribes, put them on the same beach.
Yeah, and they have loved having crossovers between tribes with Shipwheel Island, right? Like giving people a chance to like build an alliance before they actually are on the same beach together. That's what it seems like to me. Maybe did he say drop your buffs in the preview?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, I thought he did. He's like
drop your buffs
in a different way.
Yeah,
you're dropping them different. So maybe they go down to two tribes, but they're all just there together.
Right. Wow. So that Shan Kim Spradlin comparison is going to look really good here in a second if that's what they do. That's a great point, Trey, because they've done all this like intermingling with the Journey and the Shipwheel Islands and all that, these secret little villages and stuff, like this cross-contamination between all the tribes. It would be weird if they just left it to chance, pull rocks out, pull buffs out, and then none of these interactions that happened like line up on the same tribes. Again, totally pointless. Like, what a waste. So that's fascinating. Like, maybe that's why it encourages a draft, because you know the person, you've got to know them, stuff like that. Or even this idea that we're just all in one spot and the dynamics at play from that. Huh. Okay.
The issue with a draft, as we all know, is it will end up taking 10 to 12 hours. Every portion of it, like who gets to choose, are we doing snake, what is happening?
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so yeah, it's everybody's dropping their buffs. There's gonna be a shakeup of some sort. It doesn't appear to be just a normal merge that they're all coming together. We think there's gonna be other tribes, but who knows? Is it three, is it two, is it something wild? We'll learn next week. The title of next week's show, guys, as we start to wrap this up, is Ready to Play Like a Lion. And I just wanted to ask you guys, who ends up saying that? Because it's always somebody that says the line. So who says, I'm ready to play like a lion? Trey, we'll start with you. It's a tough prediction, I know, but have at it.
Gotta be Heather. She's been a lamb thus far.
Ooh. Yeah,
gotta play like a lion.
Wow. Okay. Wild card Heather. Jason, go to you next.
Nasir.
Oh, yeah, it sort of feels that way to me too. And JD, where you going this year? Give somebody else. Come on, go somebody else.
You know, Sydney's already compared herself to a mermaid, so she's a mermaid in the sea, but a lion on the land, perhaps. So maybe she's ready to play like a lion.
Okay. Okay.
Looking for a mermaid in the sea, but a lion on the land.
There are people saying Sydney here in the live tribe. I don't know if that's the reasoning.
Sydney's
but
a good call. She would say something like that.
She definitely would. I could see that. It's like, it almost has to be somebody from the blue tribe.
Right. Yeah.
Because they haven't played. So now there's a shakeup, and you could see them say, okay, here we go. Now I'm going to be a lion. I was doing nothing. So I think that's If it's smart to pick a Heather is what I'm getting at here. Yeah, yeah. Somebody from the Blue Tribe, I think, will be ultimately saying this line when there is a shakeup. We'll wrap it up with this. You guys know I did the game within the game. Nailed it.
This was an easy one.
No problem with my Rebus.
This was the easiest one. And then Jeff literally said the answer like 20 seconds later.
That's right. That's right. But the whole point of this, I find, is then we get Jeff with his little video. I think we're getting more from his little videos on Game Within the Game than we are from the actual teases at the end of the episode.
So true. Because
he said, okay, Trey, I know you agree with me. He said, hypothetical. Exile Island-like hypothetical. Would you more likely send an ally or an adversary to go somewhere? So maybe this will be involved in this shakeup somehow. Mm. Maybe this is the captains that you guys were saying or something like that. So that's the question that he was proposing in the little game within the game. He said right at the end of it, JD, I don't know if you have the photo there of Jeff Probst. Right at the end of his little video, he just says, big episode. And just smiles the creepiest Probst smile I've ever seen. Big episode.
Big episode.
So that's fun. And again, I said this a couple weeks ago when I was last on. I have a theory that these words that we're unlocking on the game within the game are actually going to come into play in the actual show. So we now have the words vote, see, earn, toy, and war. Mm. Is this going to spell out something that will almost be a clue for us as the audience that we could be screaming at the television, you know, somehow, some way. We'll see. We'll see. That's my weird theory, that the game within the game is in the game.
You can use that if you want.
Super in there.
The game is within the game.
Big episode.
Yeah, put Probst back up. No, yeah, not Evan Fournier. There he goes. Okay, let's call it there, guys. If you want to hear me talk a little bit more about Survivor without the bros, I am going to jump on Rob Has a Podcast tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that. Yeah, don't you worry, guys. I'll be pitching no buffs to the RHAP community, which is much bigger than ours. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm actually terrified. It's like one thing talking to you guys about Survivor and screwing up everything, but it's another talking to Rob Cesternino, who's, you know, a two-time player, is the podcast legend in the Survivor game. But yeah, we'll see. I know Jason, I know you've talked to him before.
I made one gaffe, which he made me feel good about, which I was talking about idols and asking him what he thinks he would do, forgetting, of course, that he is pre-idol career player.
Right, right.
But I was just so starstruck, and then he very gently corrected me. So don't do that.
Don't do that. I won't do that. I know it was his birthday today, so I'll give him a happy belated birthday on tomorrow's. Rob Has a Podcast, so you can check that out. Probably goes up later in the afternoon. All right, no dunks tomorrow morning. Jason, you got anything coming on the pipeline here? What do you got?
I got the Knicks coming back. They are back. Double overtime.
This is my least favorite part of the episode. Every week.
The Celtics. And it does appear, you know, obviously we've been looking at the charts and we've been expecting them to come back, and now it does appear that they are back.
I was thinking of you last night with that crazy double overtime game. I saw your tweets, you're firing them
it
off, like
me.
Your heart palpitations. Yeah. I was wondering, though, how you were doing the Knicks watch and the Survivor watch, but it sounds like you waited till, what, today to watch that bad boy. Yeah. Smart man. I ended up firing it up last night after watching all of the early games. So I started Survivor at like midnight last night. I'm lying in bed. I got it on the bedroom television. But you know what? I've never been more alert. I love this show. I love it. I'm wide awake. Okay. So the Knicks are back. The Bulls are back. And No Dunks will be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern with the Drop Podcast. Guys, great to see you. We will see you next week. Until then, the Tribe has spoken.